This is Entrepreneur Radio. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, today I am in Phoenix, Arizona with Scott Duffy at Meltdown in the Desert. And I'm telling you what, it is hot outside. The airplanes have stopped landing and the power went out, Scott. And right in the middle of your, he was doing Facebook Live. You guys can check it out at entrepreneur.com, or actually it's on the Facebook page, but Facebook Live. And right in the middle of it, the power went out. I thought that was quite funny.
Yeah, it was the craziest thing. So we have a room with hundreds of people in this room, and we were walking into the conference, and we had Colby Colobus, who is the founder of the Meltdown event, who was being interviewed. And as we were walking in and the place was going, I'm not sure if the place brought the power down or it was the heat. I think it's like 100. Someone just told me it was 118 right now. They saw on their phone. 118 degrees out right now. But yeah, we lost all the power, knocked us on Wi-Fi. But you know, when you're an entrepreneur, you just roll with it, right? So that's what we did.
You know what? And that's the thing. Change is the only constant. And you know if it can go wrong, it will go wrong.
Yeah.
But you just roll with it.
Well, and what's really funny is when you're in a room with, you know, 400 or 500 social media influencers, they all have their cameras. They all have, like, lights in their pockets and stuff like that. So before you knew it, the whole room was lit up with what people were carrying around in their bag.
It used to be a lighter, and now it's their cell phone light.
Now it's their cell phone light. Exactly.
So talk about Meltdown a little bit and Colby Kay and the fact that Microsoft is involved and Entrepreneur.
Sure. I mean, I really believe that this is the hottest event for social media influencers.
Literally
in the country. And really what you have here is you have people that have built their social media influence from a few thousand followers up to literally millions of social media followers. And what you're learning while at the Meltdown Conference is really a step-by-step approach to how they've done it. And so if you're an entrepreneur and you have a startup company, if you have an existing business, but you really need to go back and increase your influence and your reach online, this is the place to go. This is the conference you need to be at.
Well, it draws some interesting people, just like the gentleman sitting right next to us, Ketan Makwana, and he is all the way here from London, from Enterprise Lab. Maybe you could talk about that.
Sure. Thank you for having me on the show. So Enterprise Lab is an organization, an agency that I set up about 6 years ago, focused on helping people change their perceptions, which then has that natural effect on their behaviors, then their attitudes and their actions. So today we're a global entity that has training academies around the world, and we work with anyone from pre-startup right the way through to corporations on design thinking and innovation.
Why do you think Colby brought you to this event?
To cut a long story short, I've known Colby for about a year. We connected through Facebook and then originally met in London when Gary Vaynerchuk was speaking. I was one of the speakers at that event, and we connected thereafter, had a long conversation, started to tell him my story, and I don't know, I think, you know, he felt that this is something that the people of Arizona and the U.S. needed to hear. So,
well, I want to hear it too then.
Oh, well, so I have a career background, very heavy career background. My sort of visions and aspirations at that time were to be a career geek. I wanted to sort of have a six-figure salary, become the chief executive of a corporation. Worked my way through the ranks, and then in 2009 I lost my job because of the recession. And it moved me. It moved me in a way where my back was against the wall. I needed to go out and earn. I had a choice, join the line of others trying to get a job or go and create one. So I took the latter. Moved on from there to create an outsourcing agency in the recession and took on about 300 self-employed professionals to start working on contracts. Again, connections, networks, you know, you find a gap. It wasn't really a gap, it was a necessity and a need, but it's all about simplicity at that time. I sold that agency a year later, and then I wanted to go and travel the world, but I didn't want to take my wife with me. So I created a brand management agency that looked for niche healthcare brands from around the world to bring to Europe. We scaled that business up. We did the same thing, outsource modeling, getting people in, contracting, working. But the whole value proposition was understanding the customer, understanding the value, understanding the market, and being able to put the right strategies in place. We ended up selling that company 2 years on for another seven figures. And then, you know, in 2011, I had the opportunity to create Enterprise Lab. Its first approach was to be a bridge between education and employment. I just felt the system wasn't really supporting our future generations. And then this coincided with events that happened in London and in the UK with young people rioting. As a response to that, I got the Prime Minister behind me. We did an event. I got a job with the Prime Minister, and that helped me globalize. So
I don't know how people do this. And first of all, I think I sold two companies. Scott, you sold one of your companies. I've never sold anything but cars. We'll take a break. We'll come back and find out how Ketton did all this and what his message was here at Meltdown in the Desert 2 here in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Alan Taylor. It is Entrepreneur Radio. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Radio after these messages. Entrepreneur Radio. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Welcome back. I'm Alan Taylor and Scott Duffy at Meltdown in the Desert. It's presented by Microsoft and Ryan Tech and, of course, Entrepreneur. We're talking with Ketton McQuana. He is the CEO and Chief Disruptor at Enterprise Lab. And we heard he got a job with some pretty powerful people over in the UK. But I want to know about kind of the message that you gave this group of people. I missed some of it because, of course, the power went out here at the Meltdown because the power in the room was pretty overwhelming. And you were up there. You had everybody cheering. Give us 5 minutes on the message.
Well, actually, it's quite interesting you say that because disruptor by name, disruptor by nature. You know, I only got to Arizona a few days ago. And as I was arriving in, the heat wave kicked off and 52 flights were canceled. Didn't even think I was going to make it here. And no longer than 10 minutes on stage and the power goes. You know, I've got so much disruption in my life in that respect. The message that I was giving to the audiences today was about the rules of disruption, what it takes to be disruptive. And we live in a society today that you've got to challenge convention, you've got to create imbalances, and you've got to keep taking action, you know. Social media is a platform which allows us to express ourselves. You know, we've heard a lot over the 2 days about vulnerability, truth, authenticity. I see social media as an opportunity to create a documentary of your life, everything, insides, outsides. You've got so many different platforms and channels, so Facebook to YouTube to Snapchat to Instagram. But for me, it's not just about the authenticity. What are you prepared to do to go out and challenge the convention? Because at the end of the day, if you want to create change, you have to disrupt.
Tell me about your shirt. Remember why you started.
Interesting. This is actually one of the mottos from Colby, the Healthy Primate, and Meltdown. It was given to us as a gift. And when I saw this T-shirt, I thought this is the most appropriate T-shirt to wear today when I'm giving my talk. I think people need to sometimes go back and realize and identify why they're doing what they're doing. Sometimes we get lost in the wilderness when we start off. We have all this excitement, we have all this enthusiasm, all this drive. But what tends to happen is over a period of time, we get lost in wilderness. We don't know how to move forward, we don't know what's left and right. And often that diverts us into this environment of uncertainty, fear, procrastination. And I think just remembering why you started what you started could really help you bring back perspective and track for life. So I just thought it was wholly appropriate to wear this T-shirt today.
We're talking with Ketton McQuana. He is the CEO and Chief Disruptor at Enterprise Labs. He's here from London. Scott, you know, this guy, he's got a good energy about him. He got the crowd going. The power went out, right? And then you were supposed to do your Facebook Live. And it all happened simultaneously. Maybe it was when the two titans were trying to talk at the same time.
Well, you know, what fascinates me is, you know, most entrepreneurs, when they get started, they're trying to solve one problem for one person, right? They keep things simple, and they're selling to, you know, direct to consumers or business. But you, on the other hand, you go and you work with governments. Like, you try and empower entrepreneurs by going to the government of the UK and other parts of the world. We've talked about this. Can you break that down, how you take that big vision and you make that happen? What are two or three action steps entrepreneurs can take today and they can apply in their own business?
I mean, it wasn't intentional to go to governments, but having done that little work with the Prime Minister and having that opportunity to become an advisor on policy, I think other governments started to pay attention, and they said, we want a slice of that cake. So I started to consult more and more. And for me, the more frustrated I got at what they're trying to do and not succeeding in, the more angrier I got in terms of what I wanted to deliver as a point of a message. The information that I, or the advice that I would give to any business owner that's, you know, in this kind of thing, first be very clear on your message, actually believe in your intentions. And the third thing is do whatever you've got to do to get that message and that result out there. Just don't give up, because actually when you've got your biggest challenge in front of you, that's when you're 15 minutes away from success.
Love it. You can find him at www.enterpriselab.co.uk. That is Ketan Makwana. Again, Enterprise Lab. Ketan, thank you for being with us. We'll take a little break and bring some other icons of industry here from the Meltdown in the Desert in Phoenix, Arizona. This is Entrepreneur Radio.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Radio after these messages.
And try to meet the masses. Go get yourself some cheap sunglasses. Oh, yeah.
This is Entrepreneur Radio. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Welcome back. We are at Burn Down and Meltdown, or doing
meltdown,
something.
We're melting down. Meltdown in the Desert, part two.
And it is so hot in Phoenix, Arizona. It's unbelievable. Joining us right now is Karen Osborne, and she is with Women Wanting More. It's her podcast and her company, Dr. Karen Osborne. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about Women Wanting More.
Sure. So I created a podcast really out of the evolution and the shifts that was happening in my life, that I was, and still am, a wife, mom of two kids, former chiropractor, so now retired from practice for a year, and have just for the last like 5 years felt like there was something different inside of me. I felt like I was called for more, like there was a bigger way for me to be actually showing up. But yet I didn't know what that was. And so I went along this journey of hopping into the online space and blogging and video blog and my first podcast. And so this podcast was really developed out of where I was in my life of, I know I'm not the only one that wants more, because a lot of women feel like they have to put all of their eggs into the basket of motherhood, pun intended, or they have to like either put all into marriage or all into business, but they can't really do all these things at once. And so my husband and I started to make a lot of shifts within our marriage and how I felt about motherhood and our businesses based on what was shifting in our personal lives. And so I really felt like there was something to teach with that message, because there's so many women that wanted to have a marriage that was more passionate. They wanted to be more patient and present with their children. They wanted to have a healthy, strong, lean body, and they wanted to really still be killing it in business, but they didn't know how to do all these things together. And is that even possible? And so the podcast, which is really what it came out of, the whole business, is me, as we're talking about before we started to hit record, right? Me and my phone sharing something that's happened with my life, a lesson that I can extract from that, that they can really relate to, and to give them an actionable tip, what I call a more tip with each of that. And from that, launched my coaching business, one-on-one, group, online, live events. And since that time, I've left my chiropractic practice about a year ago. We've moved to a totally different place in the world. And life is just an amazing thing. But it is 100% me that you hear on the podcast, F-bombs and all. And, yeah, I love it. I love it.
I'm going to, because Scott is such a pain in my neck, Scott Duffy here with me as well, I have to go to a chiropractor often, and I'll give Scott a chance to talk
in
a minute.
Because you eat so many burgers.
And this is Men Wanting More Burgers, our podcast. We're going to be doing that. Yeah, it's a different one. But, my chiropractor, Dr. Owen Martin, who's a great guy, it's interesting. I think chiropractors... And I'm going to ask you this because you're a chiropractor. You touch people. You guys have to really get intimate in this way where you're like, pushing on them and stretching them and squeezing on them and cracking their bones. And, maybe there's something there, because I noticed Dr. Owen is also a very spiritual, very thoughtful, very interested in me as a person kind of person. And I'm just curious if being a chiropractor, if you think that had anything to do with it versus being a medical doctor.
Hmm. That's a good question. Well, I'll answer it this way. D.D. Palmer, who was the founder of chiropractic, always talked about connecting man the physical with man the spiritual. And so there is definitely a piece to chiropractic that some people get if they're under regular care. Definitely some chiropractors get that was the reason then that I'm still doing what I'm doing. It's just a different medium, which is to really to connect people to a better expression of themselves. That when you have a clear communication from your brain to your body and your body can function optimally the way it's designed to be, you're at your absolute best. And the piece of that that really excited me the most was being able to create that connection. And so with chiropractic, it's obviously a laying of hands to do that, right? And so when people have asked me too, it's like, well, how was the transition from that into like this online space? And like, was it difficult? Of course it was, all those things. But to me, it is a different medium now with what I do that I still did in chiropractic, which was connection. And instead of doing it in a physical form, now it's really helping through the area of mindset to really help these women connect back to who they really want to become and back to who they are.
Well, she's cracking their spiritual bones now instead of their physical bones.
That's awesome. I'd love to go back to content and content creation for a minute, because we were talking about your podcast, and one of the things that's really cool is you have an app on the phone, you hit record, you could be walking just away from the school, and boom, you just go. And I think that one of the mistakes that people make when they try and engage in social media is they feel like things need to be overproduced. They need to spend a bunch of money on gear. They need to spend a bunch of time getting ready. But you just make it happen. And I was wondering, can you share with our audience, you know, a couple of tips for getting started, building an audience on social media, and how to create cool content?
And I'm going to have you do that in 1 minute. We'll take a break, come back, talk some more. Okay, Dr. Karen Osborne.
So I think the biggest piece of that is such a good question, because people ask those things all the time, is like, I think you first need to figure out, number one, like, what do I truly want? Like, what is the result? I think you have to start foundationally there with anything you're trying to achieve. Why that's really important to you and who that you are. And like, really, in the land of social media, even though we see a lot of sharing, a lot of it is very plastic. It's posturing and it's posing and it's trying to be this perfect version of yourself. And the reality is people are dying for real. And so if you simply are showing up as who you are, sharing your story, like, so I'll give you an example. So a gentleman today that when I spoke here yesterday, and I shared about my husband's illness with Crohn's, and he talked to me afterwards, and he said, you know, I have Crohn's, and I really connected with that, and I haven't really told anybody. I saw him today. He's like, I got to tell you this. He goes, I did a Facebook Live today. I shared stuff about Crohn's. He's like, I've never done it. He's like, it was so awesome. I've had two people message me and say, oh, my God, like, I thought it was just me. And so I think that by being yourself is really, like, you are your content. I say that all the time. So just share of you.
All right, we're going to take a break. I want to talk to you more on the other side. This is Entrepreneur Radio. Today we are at Meltdown in the Desert in Phoenix, Arizona. It is hot outside. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Alan Taylor and Scott Duffy. We are here together at the Meltdown in the Desert 2. Our friend Colby Kay is putting this on with Microsoft, Ryan Tech, and Entrepreneur. And we're meeting some of the cool people that were speakers and just some friends of the tribe, you might say. Karen Osborne, and you can find her, by the way, drkarenosborne.com on the web, and her podcast, Women Wanting More. So, all right, let's get back into this now, because there's a tipping point in everybody's life. We get to this point, and I remember watching a movie when I was a young kid. This guy yelled out the window. He says, I'm frustrated. I just can't take it anymore. And people get to that point, right? What was the tipping point for you? What was that moment in your life when you just said, that's it. I've got to do something different with my life.
The tipping point for me was really about 5.5 years ago. Like, I felt this since I'm 48 now, I was in my late 20s, feeling like there's something else inside of me, but I didn't know what that it was. I was really afraid to step into a leadership role. And I thought, who am I? I don't have anything to share. I don't know what this is. So the tipping point came to me 5.5 years ago when I was just like, you know what, Karen, you need to stop talking about it and just start doing. And my first foray into this was writing. And I felt like I had something to write. And so I started a blog. And I went to some cheapy blogspot.com, whatever it was back in five and a half years ago. And it was awful. And it was just simply like, if I'm going to do anything with this, if I'm going to really explore this, I just simply have to start taking action. And I just jumped in and decided. And it's been a figuring out journey like this whole time to get to there. But I think that was really one of the tipping points was like it's now. It's now to really start sharing some of this.
So quality content was on your mind, making sure that you did it in a quality way.
Exactly. Can you share? Well, here's the thing. It was more about getting the content out, right, than it is about being overproduced and overthinking it and things like that, which is so magical about what you put out there.
But today's technology is such an enabler. I mean, even our phones these days give us the ability to do things that you'd have to have a crew to do before.
Mm-hmm. But when I, like, honestly, though, too, when I first started doing things, like, there wasn't. And it was trying to be, like, more produced. And let me do a video blog and, like, how's the light and, like, all this, you know. We didn't have our phones were really that great back 5 years ago. And so, honestly, like back then, I didn't think in the realms of content. The online space was still very new to me. So this whole like just conversation of content was like, what do you mean? Like I'm putting on a blog. What's a content? What does that mean?
What's your core message to women out there?
My core message is that if you really want to discover the power within yourself, it's up to you to really begin to do the work. And it only comes by getting clear on what you want, why it matters, committing, and really understanding who you are. And like, you know, there are women out there that just, they're really like, they are dying inside. They are lost. They feel they have no purpose. They feel like they've put all their chips into motherhood or business and don't really know what it is and who they are anymore. And I think it's so important for women to really have the opportunity to really like own that power and to understand that they can do that as women.
I know some women that are going through what you're talking about right now. They're in a place in their life where they maybe have had kids and they've been totally focused.
Wait a minute. How do you maybe have kids?
Where they've had kids and they have been totally focused on being a mom, and maybe there were other parts of their life like work and things like that that they had maybe left behind, and they're trying to figure out how to re-engage in those other areas.
That's a very good question. How do you start? What advice do you have?
You need to start asking yourself those foundational questions that nobody wants to ask themselves. It's like, well, what's the five steps? And what's a book I can read? And should I just listen to more of your podcast? And it's like, okay, all these things are cool, but you really have to, like, just organically pen to paper. Like, what do I truly want? If I could create the life that I wanted, how would my marriage look? How would I show up as a parent? What would my body look like? And, like, what would my business be like? And just really start from that place. Because if you don't know where you're going, the tools in place are really irrelevant. You need to have that foundation first.
She's right. I don't want to know what my body looks like, Scott. That Business and Burger show is killing me.
Well, okay. So let's say you've asked yourself those foundational questions and you've started to get clear on what it is that you would like to be, say, 5 years down the road. How do you get the confidence? How do you muster up the confidence to move forward?
I think it just, you know, there's going to be certainty that comes along with what you want. And there comes, like you're talking about the tipping point, where there just comes to a point where you just really have to say, you know what, like, it's time. I just need to be okay with stepping into the void of unknown and understanding that you don't have to figure things out before you move. Like, you move and then you figure it out. Like, that's how it happens. And so I don't really know, like, what that vehicle is, and I don't think it's that easy. You know what I mean? I think everyone's a little bit different, but it's a commitment to just go.
Dr. Karen Osborne, I'll give you one little thing. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with a first step, right?
Mm-hmm. And stepping into a place where you go, holy crap, I don't know where I am.
That's right, but that's called faith, and just keep putting one foot in front of the other. All right, well, thank you. Her website, again, is drkarenosborne.com, and her podcast, Women Wanting More. Thank you for being with us. I'm going to take another break, and we'll add one more of our amazing people here from Meltdown in the Desert. I'm Alan Taylor with Scott Duffy. It is Entrepreneur Radio. Well, we are in Phoenix, Arizona, where if you've been watching the weather, it's been incredibly hot. I'm Alan Taylor with Scott Duffy. Scott Duffy and I do Business and Burgers together. You can find that at businessandburgers.com. But we're at the Meltdown and the Desert, and whew, we have been melting down. You can find that at meltdownevent.com, sponsored by Microsoft, Ryan Tech, and Entrepreneur. Scott, our next guest, I missed his talk. Did you get to see him talk?
Of course I did. It was awesome.
Well, I was gone, so I asked him to give me one word to describe his talk, and he said light. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what that means.
Can I tell you what I think that means?
Yeah.
I think that it meant how to turn your darkest periods and that darkness into light. That's what I heard.
That's because he wrote it down. See, you're cheating already. Ryan Mickler is here from orderofman.com. Order of Man. Ryan, do us a favor. Give us a little bit of your talk and help people to turn darkness into light.
Yeah, you bet. So, you know, everybody's experienced something. You know, we've all had trials, hurdles, obstacles, roadblocks. I talk a lot about my lack of a father figure growing up and how challenging that was for me. I went through a pretty nasty separation with my wife and almost lost her and my six-month-old son at the time. And for a lot of years, I floundered, you know, what it meant to be a man, and I struggled, and I took that information and I turned it inward. And I didn't share that with anybody because I thought as a man, like, you're supposed to have this all figured out, right? You're supposed to know how everything works. You're supposed to have it under control. You're supposed to be stoic and all the things that society tells us about men. And I didn't have that stuff figured out. But it wasn't until I started sharing that message and working up the courage to share that message that I realized that everybody goes through struggles. And if we can use that as, and this is the synopsis of the talk, use that darkness as fuel to shine, to really tell people who we are, and more importantly, help other people succeed and go through the same trials that we've found a way through, I feel like that's our moral obligation. So that's the overview, I guess, if I had 30 seconds to share what my 20-minute talk was.
Well, you know, it's interesting. There's a lot of people go through exactly what you just described right now, and I'm sure there's people that are listening that are going through that exact thing. You know, there's no owner's manual on this big, fat body of mine. If there was, it'd be a lot skinnier. But there's no owner's manual on children, on marriage. Yes, a lot of people write books, but there's still, each of us are individuals in our own kind of wacky, crazy circumstances, and so much has been downloaded into us by either our parents or the lack thereof and whoever, you know, replaced that person. So I don't know. Maybe you could just start by giving us, how did you begin your journey? It sounded like it was a very painful place for you.
Yeah, I mean, it was. It was the darkest time of my life. I remember literally crying in my son's bedroom, looking at a picture of my son saying, I'm going to find a way to win you back. And it literally the darkest time of my life. I don't know why this changed for me, but I'm so grateful that it did. At somewhere along the way, I decided that I'm going to take ownership of my life. Because for a long time, I blamed her. Like, how could she do this to me? Why was she disloyal? How would she take my son away from me? And I blamed her. And somewhere along the way, I decided, you know what? Maybe, just maybe, I have something to do with this. Like, maybe part of this is my responsibility. And that was really the catalyst for change. That's not something people want to admit, that I'm inadequate as a husband or I'm inadequate as a father. But when I did that and I used that, that's where I really began to see the changes in my life.
But how did you get to that paradigm shift? Because man, by nature, is a lion. And the lion, you know, is the king of the forest. And how does the lion tame itself?
Yeah, that's a good point. So I can tell you the catharsis that I came to was I recognized, and I can tell you what road I was on, I can tell you the cross street I was on, where I thought to myself for the first time through our separation that this marriage might actually be over. And that was rock bottom for me. Because what I had tried to do up to that point is manipulate her. Like, how could I control her? How can I manipulate her? How can I get her to do X, Y, and Z so she'll come back to me? But at that point that I realized there's nothing at this point that I can do about her, as difficult as that was to admit that that relationship could have been seriously ended, it was the turning point to say, well, I'm going to be the best catch for the next woman to come into my life. And that's the point that I got to. And so that's the point where I started reading and I started surrounding myself with the right people, looking at guys in my immediate circle who had a lot of this stuff figured out. And what was really fascinating is as I took that ownership and I took those steps, she responded to that. Not the manipulation tactics, not the me placing blame or trying to coerce her into coming back, but just taking full responsibility and changing for myself, because I thought it was over. It was rock bottom for me. And that was where I needed to hit.
Interesting. I've been married 32 years next month, and I was I dated for 4 years before that, so 36 years. I have 4 children. 2 of them are married now. I have been through so many hills and valleys with our relationship, but always been faithful, and she's always been faithful to me. But it's interesting. I saw a little meme the other day that said it so perfectly. It says, if you want your wife to be an angel, you must first make her life heaven, because angels don't live in hell.
That's a great point. You know, and I think what's really interesting, especially about men, because our responsibility, our job is to go out there and be protectors and providers and presiders and give and give and give and provide for our kids and our wives and our employees and everything else that we have going on. Traditionally, that is our role. But what I see a lot of men and what I was doing is I was doing that at the expense of my own well-being. And I wasn't finding ways to take care of myself. So I wasn't exercising. I wasn't participating in any hobbies. I didn't have any male friends that I could go release. And so I thought I was doing something noble. Like, I'm working so I can provide for the family. I'm giving and I'm giving and I'm giving. And you can only do that so long before you don't have any energy. And this can go down a complete rabbit hole. But when a man or a woman gives away all of her energy to a partner, that partner then has to assume both responsibilities. Now my wife is playing the responsibility of wife, feminine energy, and husband, masculine energy. And she's going to burn out just as quickly as you did when you do that.
And she may take some of that masculine energy and challenge you with it. Now you've got yourself a problem.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And there's a book called No More Mr. Nice Guy by Dr. Robert Glover, and he talks about this very same concept. And men are just getting railroaded in their relationships, as employees of companies, in jobs, wherever it may be, because they've given away all of their power. They don't have anything to give, and so they just let themselves get pushed around and pushed with the wind simply because they don't know how to stand up for themselves, because they've, whether it's consciously or subconsciously, gave away all of their ability to do anything for themselves in their lives.
This is some powerful shiznit. We're talking to Ryan Mickler. He is orderofman.com. Tell us how you started that.
Yeah, so I started, about 2.5 years ago. And my goal at the time was to really create a society, a brotherhood, an organization, which is why it's called The Order, of men who could bond together, come together, and work through some of the struggles that all of us face, and do it in a way where it's like, hey, here's what I've gone through, and here's how I overcame that, and I think we're stronger collectively. So I started a blog and a podcast simultaneously. I had another podcast that I was doing prior to that. Realized that I love the medium of podcasting and doing what we're doing right now, but I did not love the conversation that I was having, which was centered around financial planning. So I pivoted really quickly after about 20 episodes, and man, we've been going strong for the past couple, 2.5 years.
And my buddy Scott right here, financial man you are, we are constantly, as husbands and fathers, struggling. And this is a very important topic right now for all of us in business, all of us entrepreneurs, because we're workaholics. We don't know how to slow down. We don't know how to stop because the bills keep going on. We're going to get yelled at by one person or another. How do you choose? Matter of fact, and I'll give it to Scott in a minute, but how do you choose who to respond to? Because we're getting yelled at from both sides. The bills, the wife, the kids, from all sides.
The first step is always to evaluate. What is it that you want? What do you want? Because here's the thing. You hear guys like Gary Vaynerchuk and some of these other guys who are like, hustle, hustle, hustle 24/7. And for some people, I think that's great if that's what they want.
All right, let's take a break. I got to take a break because commercials are going to run us over. You're listening to Entrepreneur Radio. I'm Alan Taylor. Scott Duffy with me right now. And Ryan Mickler, orderofman.com. This is really good. We'll be right back. Meltdown in the Desert. I'm Alan Taylor with Scott Duffy and our guest right now, Ryan Mickler. He is one of the speakers here at Meltdown. Orderofman.com. Gentlemen, ladies, I advise you to listen to this man's podcast, and I can't wait to listen to it myself. Scott, I'm going to hand it to you for the next question.
So, Ryan, I'm fascinated at how you've built not only your social media, your influence, and your presence, but you're amazing at building community online. And my question is, for us as entrepreneurs, how do we build powerful communities online?
And I'll start by saying, find something people are really passionate about. And your family is a great place to start, right?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And the other thing, too, is I think a lot, we look at ourselves as entrepreneurs as the leader. And when you look at like the organization chart of a leader, the leader's at the top, right? And when I started Order of Man, my goal, I mean, look at the title, Order of Man. What does that say? This is society, brotherhood, organization. So everything that I've ever thought about this business I'm creating is community. The community is in the name, right? And so my goal, and I told you this before the break, is to create that organization. So how do we do this? Instead of positioning myself as the leader, what I've said is I'm on the same journey with you. So let's go shoulder to shoulder and let's do this together. And in order to do that, in order to enlist an army of men who you want to go out into the world and be the providers and the presiders, everything that we talk about, you have to be willing to go first. And for me, going first meant, here's what I suck at, guys. How can you help me? And it's really fascinating to see guys come out. And the conversations that we're having with 33,000 men about divorces they're going through and drug addictions and arrest and the things that they're going through and how vulnerable they're being because they see somebody who's given them permission and a platform to say the things they've always wanted to say but haven't had permission to do it.
I'm going to out myself right now. I can't say no to a burger. Scott?
Okay, so you start a community, you have 33,000 people, and a lot of those people are going through pain. And many people have a difficult time talking about the pain that they're going through in such an open forum, right? Let alone at all. How do you get people to open up and to share what's painful and to really be honest in an online community?
So I think there is a value in being a little bit of cloaked, if you will, behind the wall of Facebook, because for these guys, and I've had people message me who have said, hey, Ryan, I want to post this in the Facebook group, but I can't really talk about it in public because my wife might hear it or my boss might see it. But you get inside of a Facebook group and you can be anonymous, right? Essentially. And so you're sharing with people who have no idea who you are. They don't know your story. They don't know your background. And that ability to share with people you don't know makes it easier to be able to share some of the deep stuff.
I have a question about that. So in Facebook, as an example, you're creating a profile. So people theoretically would know or could know who you are. So do you find that people come into these types of communities and they create kind of like a second profile that's more anonymous so that they can feel more comfortable? I mean, like, I know this. If I have something sensitive, I always create a new Alan Taylor profile.
Nice.
I wish I could give you the answer to that. I don't know. And maybe that's the point, right? They don't want me to know. But, you know, I think for the most part, probably not. They're just willing to share it in that forum. And I think you just do it. You just lead by example and you ask them tough questions. And so I've had guys post stuff where I think is complete BS and I'll call them out like, no, come on, there's something more here. And like my wife left me, for example. Okay, why did she leave you? Well, because of this and that. No. Like, what's the real reason that she left you? And so you start bringing out this coaching element, and that gets guys to delve down deep into what the real issue is that they haven't been willing to share.
Right. You have to get past the gate guards.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I want to hear your, hopefully, your happy ending story to your marriage and your life because of why you started Order of Man.
Yeah, I mean, besides what we've been able to do and the messages I receive, I mean, some of my favorite messages that I get are from guys who have talked with their wives and their wives and their colleagues and their friends are seeing differences. To go back to my personal story, you celebrated, what did you say, 36 years?
Well, 32 years of marriage and 36 together.
Yeah, so for us, tomorrow marks our 13th year anniversary. So, you know, through being able to change and being vulnerable and sharing your story and being willing to admit that you don't have it all figured out, but you want to figure it out, man, it's a pretty incredible thing when you start taking responsibility for your life.
Orderofman.com. Again, Ryan Mickler. A lot of men, a lot of women are both in that spot, that pain spot that they know they have to do something, but they just don't know how to get started.
So I alluded to that four-step process, but the first step is to evaluate, what do you want, right? What is it that you actually want? Do you want a thriving marriage? Do you want a thriving business? Do you want the body? Do you want this? Do you want that? The next step, and I'm not going to get all into all these steps, but the second step is to strategize. And so if there's one thing guys can do more of, it's daily planning. Waking up every morning and planning out your day. What do I want to accomplish? What does this look like? How am I going to make it work? And that's how we do it.
That's Ryan Mickler. Again, orderofman.com. I'm Alan Taylor. Scott Duffy giving you a little insight to Meltdown in the Desert, meltdownevent.com. It's Entrepreneur Radio. We'll see you next week.